My dear brothers and sisters, there are storms that come into our lives. The past year and a half has provided plenty evidence of storms. A worldwide storm with a pandemic, a national storm of politics, a societal storm of racial tensions, plenty of storms. And that's before we even get to our own individual storms, those aches and pains that we all have, whether it's a physical ailment, or whether it's difficulty in our work, or whether it's messy relationships. All of those storms that come in the course of everyone's life. And sometimes they can have a cumulative effect. When everything just seems to grind us down, everything seems to feel heavy and dark. Storms come. And when they come, you and I all too often respond in exactly the same way that the disciples reacted on that boat in the Sea of Galilee. And the storm was tossing their boat around. They woke Jesus, panicked, afraid, and a little bit irritated that they had to wake him up. And what did they say? Do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care? Isn't that exactly the sentiment that we feel when the storms of life clobber us and Jesus seems hidden and silent? Lord, do you not care? Look at what's happening to me. Do you not care? My dear brothers and sisters, look upon our crucified Savior. And can you really ask, do you not care? How much more does the Lord have to do to prove his care for us? Yes, Jesus cares for us. In fact, every wound on his bruised body is proof of his care for us, because he didn't have to suffer. He came down to enter into the brokenness of our world, to take all of our human suffering upon himself. You and I do not have a distant God who does not care. A clockmaker who created things and set them in motion and lets go. No. Jesus took upon himself the suffering of our humanity. And we know we are never alone when we suffer. The storms of life seem overwhelming when we try to tackle them alone. Instead of turning to the Lord Jesus, who wants to walk with us every single step of the way. What's too much for me to handle isn't too much for him. The Lord has the power to calm the storm. The disciples were amazed when they did wake him up that that's what he did. Who is this that has such a power? Yes, Jesus has the power to calm the storms in our lives. But let's remember, before they woke him up, that boat wasn't going down. There was no way that boat would sink with Jesus on board, even if he was asleep. So you and I need to recognize that. Yes, we pray to the Lord to deliver us from storms, but we also have to realize if he doesn't, that storm's not going to sink me. Lord, use your power to support me, to sustain me through the storm, or use your power to calm the storm. But either way, I trust in your power. I trust in your care for me. When Jesus appeared in a vision to Saint Faustina, he said something quite shocking. He said, "More than man's sins, what offends him is our lack of trust." Think of that. More than our sins, it's our lack of trust that offends God. What more could God do to prove his care for us, to invite our trust? And yet you and I are so slow to give that trust. And that's why Jesus told Saint Faustina that wherever the divine mercy image was to be displayed, it was always to have written across the bottom of it, "Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you." We need to remember that message. We need to take it to heart. For you see, faith is not a set of intellectual propositions about God. That's to make faith an abstraction. Faith is a lived relationship of loving trust with God. That's what discipleship looks like. And not simply having the right answer to a theological quiz. "Jesus, I trust in you." And sometimes, let's face it, the storms that come seem to rock the church. The church has traditionally been called the bark of St. Peter. A bark was another name for a type of a boat. And so the ship of Peter gets tossed around by the storms of the world as well. You and I can scratch our heads. We can even pull out our hair. Oh, I did that already. What is this with clergy scandals? What is this with bishops who seem not to have read the catechism? What is this with the Pope? What is that? What is the other? You and I can get all agitated at the storms that rock the boat of the church. But all it proves is that we don't trust enough. And we haven't read enough church history. You think this is bad? Oh, I could tell you stories. My dear brothers and sisters, when the storms rock the church, you and I too often do not turn to trust in the Holy Spirit that sustains the church. You and I turn to politics. We divide into camps. We fall prey to conspiracy theories. We lose charity. Yes. Life has always been messy. And that messiness extends into the church because God invites humans into the church. But the church is more than a human institution. It is the mystical body of Christ. And you and I fail in our faith when we treat the church just like one more institution. And we use the tools of worldly politics to try and agitate and deal with things that need to be dealt with on the level of grace and that begin with trusting the Holy Spirit, which has gotten the church through far worse times than these. Trust. Whether it's a storm out in the world, whether it's a storm in my personal life, whether it's a storm in the church, trust. Trust. Jesus, I trust in you. What's overwhelming for me is not too much for you to handle. We'll get through this together. Lord, you will give me the grace I need to persevere through this storm, or you will calm this storm. Either way, Jesus, I trust in you.